you all have a very healthy love for the Word of God. I appreciate that so very much. I love the Word, and we heard earlier that the Word is the standard. And I was studying after last week. I preached about Lot and Sodom and how Mrs. Lot looked back. And I wanted to follow up a thought this morning about that event. And I'm not going to preach long, but I do want to share a couple things with you today that really is on my heart that I believe that I need to share. In Luke chapter 17, if you have your Bibles, you can open them there. And I'm not going to read a text. I'm just going to jump in and preach. But Luke chapter 17. And in Luke 17, I read this passage, you know, again this week. And we are very familiar, I think, if we've been in church very long at all, that we're very familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. There were five cities that were destroyed because of the sins of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other three cities. And we're familiar with Lot's wife. You know, we hear about her. And we know what happened there. But when I was reading this passage again this week, it really dawned on me for the first time in all my ministry that Jesus did not say, "Remember Sodom." He said, "Remember Lot's wife." They had all this, well, thank you. I didn't plan on being served today. Thank you. Actually, I did plan on being served today, so I expect lunch, okay? I'm just playing. I'm just teasing. And so Jesus didn't say, "Remember Sodom." He didn't say, "Remember Gomorrah." He said, "Remember Lot's wife." And so I'll be honest with you it did not confuse me or mess me up, but it just made me think why, and I would never question Jesus, but why that he would not say to them, think about the horrors of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he said, think about Mrs. Lot. The Bible says very little about her, actually. I have seen, and if you've been to the Middle East, I've never been to the Middle East before, but there is a pillar there close to the ancient ruins of Sodom. And you can go online. I mean, you can go to YouTube and just look it up, and you can see the ruins of Sodom. They're not, I don't think they allow tourists to do a lot of stuff there, if anything, but you can actually pick up balls of sulfur at the ruins of Sodom, and you can put a match to it and it will burn. I mean, it's right there. I mean, it's right there today. And so there is a pillar there that people say is Mrs. Lot. Because Bible scholars believe that what had happened was that Mrs. Lot, whenever she was told, they were told to leave. And she was told not to look back, and she looked back and became a pillar of salt. That she lingered and looked back and might have even started to move back or was going back under this cataclysmic explosion of however God judged the city, whether it was volcanoes erupting from under the ground, earth, whatever it was, or just raining down from heaven. Just from heaven and not exploding up and coming down. However that happened, I don't know. But that it covered her up. And when it covered her up, you know that this is what killed her, and she became that which covered her up. And I don't know if that's true or not, but there are people that really do believe that. And we know that the Bible is true. When the Bible says that Mrs. Lot looked back, that she did become this pillar of salt. Now, the questions always arise, you know. I mean, they arise with me, and I've heard people say over the years, I think I even touched on this last week, people trying to understand. And I'll tell you what I think I've got some victory this week. 71 years old and still getting victory. Hallelujah. And I think I got some victory this week because I am one of these guys that would sometime wrestle. Donna and I will talk and we'll say things like, man, I don't get it. I'll tell her, I'll say, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It don't make any sense to me. How in the world do you figure that out? And then it just hit me this week. You know, how could Mrs. Lot do what she did? Was simple. You want the simple answer? She disobeyed. People are born and given to disobedience. People don't want to be obedient. People don't want to do what God said do. They want to do their own thing. They want to live life and think there are no repercussions to decisions. That they can just do anything they want, and God says this, but they can do the opposite and think that, oh, the mercy and the grace of God. And I'm all about mercy, and I'm all about grace, and I'm all about love. I'm about all of that. But this week, I've been reminded that we serve a God of justice and a God of judgment and a God of wrath. And if we don't walk in obedience to God, we will face the consequences of our disobedience. And Mrs. Lot disobeyed. We can talk about, I've heard me say, well, maybe she had family back there that she was worried about. Maybe her home, maybe whatever. But the bottom line, she did something opposite of what God said do. And when she did opposite of what God said do, she faced the consequence. Berea Church of God, I have a question for you today. What makes you and I think, Cody reminded us that we're Barabbas, absolutely right, amen. Just call me Stephen Barabbas Hobbs because that's who I am. But by the grace of God, now I've been changed by his grace, glory to God. But however, I know that my flesh wants to do what my flesh wants to do. And I don't always want to say yes to God. I don't always want to be obedient to God. I don't always want to walk in the light that God has given me. But I know something today. I realize that if I want to see gates of pearl, streets of gold, a rainbow around the throne, walls of jasper, if I want to live forever, then I'm going to have to walk in the obedience of God. And if I don't, then there's a price to pay. Berea Church of God, hear me today. You don't have to be lost, and you don't have to go to hell, and you don't have to miss heaven. God loves you, and God has prepared a way out for you, but you have to be obedient to what God said. You can make excuses all you want. Well, you don't understand my background. Diana just briefly mentioned a little bit about her life. God rescued her. She's made no excuses. She knows what God saved her from. I know what God saved me from. Opal, we all have a story. We all come from somewhere. But how many of you know in the house today that the same grace that saves one saves all? And the same mercy that's over one is the same mercy over all. Do you believe that today? Now, do you also believe that if you disobey, there's a price to pay? Mrs. Lot did not have to be lost. She didn't have to be turned into a pillar of salt. She walked in disobedience. Sodom had its problems, yeah, for sure. Sodom was messed up. Sodom, Ezekiel gives us a great look into that city in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Ezekiel said that Sodom was filled with iniquity. We know about that, but you Bible scholars know this, but maybe you don't know the rest of this. You know what the Bible says about Sodom? See if this rings a bell for Berea or modern day today in America. Said that not only was there wickedness there, but Ezekiel said Sodom was filled with pride. Sodom was had fullness of bread. That means that they ate plenty. It says that they had abundant idleness. They just had more time to burn than anything else. And I thought when I read about abundant idleness, I thought about what the Bible said about in Noah's day. I got so much to preach here, but in Noah's day, the Bible said that their hearts were only on evil continually. That every thought, every imagination of their heart was on evil. And so if all you have is an abundance of idleness and you're gorging yourself with food and you're full of pride, you'll sit around and think about anything. I'm not going to name stuff today because I don't want to be crass. But when you think about, Cody mentioned, you know, he talked about the sexual sin that we're delivered from. But if you just ever think about how sexually messed up that our world is and how sexually messed up America is and what is accepted by so many, and how come people like us that look with things and we're shocked and we speak against the immorality of the day, and people want to think we're a bunch of nuts and a bunch of old fogies and Bible thumpers and holy rollers and backwood uneducated folk. They can think what they want. But Berea Church of God, there is a standard that God has called us to. And God has not called us to sleep around with whoever we want to lay in bed with. God has ordained one sexual activity, and that's heterosexual activity between a man and his wife. And all other sexual activity, the Bible, not Steve, not the Church of God, but the Bible calls it a sin. And we make excuses about our sexual sins because we're of our attraction, because we can't help how we feel. We can't hold back the emotion. Oh, yes, you can. I just want to ask you a question. This might be sound crass to you. I really don't mean it to be. But if you find yourself alone with someone and you get to loving on one another and you get to feeling good and a car pulls in the driveway, don't tell me you can't help it, because you'll stop in a hurry. You can control what your base emotions and feelings and activities want to be. You can control that, especially a believer. A believer can trust the power of the Holy Spirit to bring temperance to their life, because the Bible says we can. Let me just real quick get back to Sodom and abundant idleness. But they also, Dinah, thank you for talking about sex. I thought you were going to talk about something else. Thank you for talking about the sex ministry, specific acts of kindness shown. Because if you read about Sodom, you know what Ezekiel says? They refused to help the poor. Good segue. Thank you, Delana. I knew you would do that without me asking you. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, and her daughters, and neither did she strengthen the hands of the poor and the needy. That was Sodom's sin. Those were Sodom's sins, I should say. And Jesus said that in the days of Noah, that before the flood, they ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage. And I used to read that and think, well, that's just normal living. And there is normalcy there. But normalcy does not mean that it's approved. Because before the flood, Jesus said they ate. That word in the Hebrew text literally means, are you ready? They gnawed their food like animals. It wasn't just eating. It was a spirit of gluttony. And just, could you imagine the ugliness of that? Well, those meals they ate. They just gorged and devoured their food because of the spirit. Remember, Ezekiel, they had plenty of food, plenty of bread. And so they gnawed their food like animals, and to drink literally means they got drunk. And so there was excess going on. There was excess of getting drunk, an excess of gluttony, pride, ignoring the poor, things that God has taught against. Sodom, who cared? No wonder their life was filled with iniquity. All they did was sit around and think about iniquity and think about evil and think about sin and how much deeper and darker it could get. That's why I say to you, I don't want to get crass, and I'm not. But when all you do is sit around and think about sex, and all you do is sit around and think about the flesh, and before long, whatever the heterosexual relationship, if that's your mindset, before long you get People get bored with that and they want more and they need more and they want to expand that more and they want to find satisfaction more, and they get deeper and darker and uglier, thinking that because the world says it's normal, it's natural. You can't help who you're attracted to. You can't help what drives you. You can't help what moves you. And I say, oh, yes, you can. I listened to didn't know her, but I'm going to take her word at it, that she was a lesbian. And she had an Instagram post and talked about how that she said, don't call me a part of the LGBTQ, she said, because I'm not, I'm a lesbian. She said, I don't want to have any part with that bisexual, transgender stuff, but I'm not going to concentrate on that. I do want to mention the plus, because she's reminded everybody watching, she said, do you know what the plus means? In math, what does the plus mean? Addition, there's more, you add. She said, there's more coming. That's why they put the plus on there. Because any kind of sexual activity or mindset that you have is going to be a part of this greater, this movement. And so that's why you've got all this craziness out there about gender and all this other kind of stuff. I read something the other day of two entertainers, happened to be female, that said they were whatever, they made up something, and people just latching on. And I was just thinking, I'm smart, but I don't know what that is. I don't understand that. But that's what people are doing. They're just adding whatever lifestyle they think, and that's going to be acceptable to a segment. It was acceptable in Sodom. But you know what else the Bible said about Sodom? It said that they married and gave in marriage. What's that mean? That life went on as normal. See, I did realize one day studying that Sodom was not a 100% homosexual community. It could not have been, or there would have been no procreation. So they were getting married and they were having babies. And they were procreating and populating the cities, those five cities. So life was going on while all this other stuff was going on. And the whole society and the whole culture accepted and received whatever was happening as normal. It was just normal. So that whenever the angels went there, we know that part of the story. But I've preached this many times over the years, that they came, the Bible says, from every quarter of the city, old and young men alike. So it affected the old, it affected the young, it affected everybody in between. It came from every quarter of the city. It means that professionals and laborers and actors and everybody, regardless of what you did for a living, was affected by that sin. And God said, get out. Don't even look back. So Jesus didn't say, remember Sodom. He didn't say, remember Gomorrah or Zoar or the other two. He said, remember Lot. Lot's wife, I'm sorry. In Lot's day, he said the same thing about what he said in Noah's day. But I want you, the reason I titled this, and I'm almost done preaching, the reason I titled this today, the Danger of Forgetting, it's because Sodom happened approximately 430 years after the flood. That's a long time, right? However, it's not a long time in history. 400 years of history is a very short time. And they had already forgotten or ignored what happened in the flood. Eight people saved from the flood, because of the righteousness of one man, who Simon Peter in his book called Noah a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says in Genesis that Noah received grace in the eyes of the Lord, not his wife, not his boys or their wives. Noah did. So Noah evidently led his family to faith. And his family believed what Noah was preaching. But everybody else rejected his message. He built a boat when it had never rained before, and they thought he was foolish and ignored him, and didn't hear anything he had to say. And the Bible said that happened until. Both places, that word until is used. Until. People carry on their life and live any way they choose until. I guarantee you, we've all seen the pictures, and I'm getting ready to close, but we all seen the pictures of people in the water banging on the side of the ark. We've all seen those pictures. Until. People are going to live their rebellious life here until. Until the trumpet sounds. Until. Until the shout of the archangel is sounded. Until. I've heard old line preachers say, and I believe it to be true, that the few minutes after the rapture is realized, you won't be able to seat the people in this church. They'll fill this building. Our crowd is off today. We've been having close to full houses and been wonderful crowds. Today we're off. But imagine people filling every chair, standing in the aisle, standing outside, wishing for a praise team to sing, a pastor to preach, people to greet them. But that day is gone. Until. Because they've turned their back on truth. They've gone the other direction and got caught in the judgment. That's what happened in Sodom. And that's why Jesus said to us, remember Mrs. Lot. She was disobedient. Bottom line, she was disobedient. Tom, would you come up, please? There's a spiritual law I want to leave you with today. Delana, I am going to ask you in just a moment to go to Revelation for me, please, and Revelation chapter 2. We'll go there just in a moment. But there is a spiritual law that I want to leave you with today. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a spiritual law. God cannot be mocked. He will not be mocked by your rebellion. He will not reward your rebellion. He will not reward your disobedience. God will reward your faith and your obedience to his word. I close with this, Revelation 2 and verse 5. Delana, please. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen. Remember. Everybody see that word? Remember. And do your first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. That's a message to the church. Delana, chapter 3, verse 3, please. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Two themes in both verses, remember and until. Remember suddenly. Remember sudden changes. Those are themes on those verses. Remember Lot's wife. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. But I ask you, Lord, that if there is someone, I'm not going to change that, Father God, there are people here. There are people here, Father God, that need to be saved. There are people here that need to rededicate their life. There are Christians here today that have been battling to be obedient, They've been struggling with obedience. But I'm asking you to fix it. Because the until has got to end today. Suddenly is coming. We must be right today. While your heads are bowed and no one's looking, you'll say to me, Brother Steve, I would sure appreciate you praying for me because my life isn't where it needs to be. Please pray for me. Let me see your hand. Just hold it up. Thank you. Somebody else. Quickly, Brother Steve, pray for me. I'm not where I need to be with God, and I need prayer. Thank you. Thank you, somebody, my God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Somebody else. Somebody else. Brother Steve, pray for me. I'm just not where I need to be with God, and I need prayer. Please pray for me. Let me see your hand. Hurry. Hurry. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come back and grab you. I'm going to pray for you. That's all I want to do. Let me see your hand just quickly, quickly. Hand up real quick in the name of Jesus. Brother Steve, pray for me. I'm just not where I need to be with God. I've seen two or three hands go up. And I want to ask you, if you're serious, thank you for raising your hand, by the way. Father God, I pray for those right now that raise their hand. I ask you, Father God, to complete the work in their life in the name of Jesus. Let them know you love them. In Jesus' name. So I prayed for you, and I will continue to pray for you.